Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Shaka Hislop. We'll kick things off in the Carabao Cup at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea taking on Newcastle. Newcastle would open the scoring early on after just a series of comical errors from the Chelsea defence. Newcastle then would hold the lead for a long time. Then a mistake from Trippier at the back post would see substitute Mudryk pounce to make it 1-1. That would take it to penalties. Chelsea converted all of theirs. Trippier would miss for Newcastle and then Ritchie, meaning that Chelsea are through to the semi-finals. Newcastle are out. Well, a big game like that means a lot of people. Well, that's exactly what we've got. Take a look at this. Ian Dark is with us, as is Frank LaBeouf. But let's go pitchside to Nader Manua at Stamford Bridge. Nader, it looked for the moment, well, for a lot of the game, that Chelsea were going to blow this.
I think yes and no, to be honest, Dan. I think as far as the flow of the game goes, that second half, Newcastle very much on the back foot. I think they ended up having one shot in that second half. Chelsea were probing, they were trying to move the ball, they were making positive changes. There's a huge buzz in here as well when Nkunku came on. And I think they did have that element of belief, and obviously it comes down to a mistake, unfortunately, from Kieran Trippier. But the side was believing, and you know, it felt like the crowd were sticking with them. The players, they kept pushing, the manager on the side stayed patient. I suppose you've got to keep going, it's not over until that final whistle sounds. And in the end, I think I would say they deserved that game. That win, rather, and I know it went down to penalties, and you know, it's the look of the draw, look of penalties, and all that stuff. But I think today, overall, they were the better side, and to see them in the next round, I think it's fully deserved.
We've seen this, haven't we, from Newcastle a bit over the last few weeks. They just get evidently tired as the game goes on.
I think they're struggling to play any other way against so-called better sides at the moment, particularly on the road. We saw it at Tottenham, who are a better side than Chelsea at the moment. There's no doubt about that, and it was no surprise Chelsea were in the ascendancy in terms of possession. A few huffing and puffing in the second half, but it really, if we're being honest, they're in this semi-final because one of the best fullbacks in the Premier League, and he is, but he's having a bad time, Kieran Trippier, made probably as bad an error as he's going to make all season. And that's the difference. He's almost second-guessing himself at the moment. All the things that Trippier just does naturally and has been doing naturally for years, it's in his mind, he knows he's going through a bad period, and instead of just knocking it out for a corner and taking your medicine and, you know, getting everybody back in and regrouping, he tries to be, I think, just a little bit too clever here, and he's paid the ultimate price. And credit to Mudryk for getting on the end of it, picking up the scraps. We talked about his end product, which has been poor, and that should help him, But yeah, Chelsea go into the semi-final, but nothing convincing for me still about the performance, bearing in mind who they're playing against, how tired and on the last legs Newcastle are with the games they've played, with the injuries, with Europe, which Chelsea don't have. But you have to latch on to mistakes, and Newcastle's big one is they just did not see this game out, and that was the difference. If they had a little bit more game awareness, they would have been playing a semi-final.
From a tactical perspective, I'm not sure Newcastle could have played this any other way. As I said before the game, Callum Wilson is not Alexander Isak. He's not going to run in behind defenders given the way the first goal came, shouldn't just be running in behind defenders and troubling them with space in behind in that manner. And then without Joe Linton, Guimaraes has to sit a whole lot deeper. And if Callum Wilson, as a result, doesn't drop even deeper than he would naturally like to, there's a big gap between striker and midfield. So inevitably, Newcastle have to sit deep and try to break when they can. You get your goal early on, you sit back and you defend what you have, you don't take any unnecessary chances. And it was a mistake that caused the goal. And while, you know, Needham is making the point that Chelsea were probably more deserving, Dubravka made one save in the second half. One save of any note in the second half. Until the goal comes. You do feel for Newcastle, and given how the game kind of played out, but you know, this it's been that kind of month for Kieran Trippier.
I think it's where Newcastle are at the moment, if we're being honest, right? They got back on the front foot for a while there. They had that brilliant win against PSG a few weeks ago, and it started to pick momentum, and then the injuries started to come one after the other, and then they've looked tired. They've had all these games, the Cup, the Champions League, back to the league. And when you've got your most reliable professional in the dressing room starting to make the kind of mistakes that are basic, Everton, Tottenham, and now this big mistake in the Carabao Cup quarterfinal, I think that tells you the story. Because prior to the month of December, Kieran Trippier probably had made, lucky if he's made one mistake of any note all season. And that's kind of where Newcastle are.
But of course, both goals came as a result of mistakes. Frank, were you swearing at the TV in French or English when Chelsea conceded that opening goal?
No, because I already know that football is made of mistakes. And if you don't have any mistakes, you don't have any goals. And it's part of it. It's just hard to have a convincing analysis about that game where it's all about mistakes. It's all about not being convincing. It's all about being clumsy. And I tried to think while the guys were talking, you know, who I could say else about what I saw. I'm not convinced about the two teams. Chelsea had more chances to score, but we all know, and it became like kind of a habit, like as they concede a goal, it's over. So you cannot be resentful to Badia Shield. He tried to get away, he should have given the ball to the goalkeeper. He tried something, misses it, he's part of it. Forget about it, try something else. But the game of a Chelsea game is so slow that even if there are chances, we all know that something wrong is going to happen and they would never score. And it's what happened in the first half. Newcastle was, I have to say, for me, kind of appalling today. Horrendous, I would say. They had that chance and they scored the goal, but otherwise nothing. They were clumsy as well. Almiron made a huge mistake, and with the guys, you know, at the end where he should have kept the ball. And after, I know I have some sympathy for Trippier because, I mean, it happens like two times to him. And how Eddie Howe can ask him to shoot a penalty when psychologically the guy is completely upside down? I don't understand that. He should have said, no, I'm sorry. No, you don't. I don't want you to go for even the worst. If what happened? It's going to be terrible for him in the dressing room right now, and when he got on his way back to Newcastle. You know, you made the mistake, you're the guy who missed the penalty. Even if you are one of the top player in your position and an international player, you're going to start wondering about what's going wrong with you. And I think Badia Shield will have an easy time to forget about it because Chelsea won, but for Trippier, it's becoming quite heavy.
Obviously, he said he'd take the penalty for redemption, Nate. And when he was walking up before the penalty, before it was the penalty takers were assigned, could you sense that?
So, Kieran Tripp is great from a dead ball position, and he's good enough to be able to score a penalty. I think the fact that he missed the target was the biggest shock for me, and I understand what Frank's saying because his mind isn't in a great place, but for some people they want to try and break that by doing something positive, and this was his opportunity to do so. So I'm devastated for him, and I think all the guys know that who've played, or just people who just played in general, you can make mistakes, but it's when those mistakes lead to goals that you really start to cast sort of doubts over yourself. And with Kieran himself, the mistakes he's made recently, you can see it's little elements of the indecision. Whereas normally he's one of the most convicted players. He knows exactly what he wants to do, whether it's to pass short, to pass long, to go make a tackle, to take a step back. But unfortunately, in some of these key moments, he's just caught in between stalls now. And even for the penalty, if he was going to miss a penalty, I would not think he's going to miss the target. That's how good a player he is. And I thought he's still going to score. So I'm devastated for him. I'm sure he's got it for himself and for his teammates. And he's just going to have to try and find a way to get through this. But the only way to do that is just to approach the challenge head on, in my opinion.
Would you have taken it, Craig?
Just quickly before we go to Ian. The mindset of let's be honest, it was a big game. It was Carabao Cup quarter-final. Kieran Trippier will get over it, right? He's played in the World Cup semi-final, right? He's made mistakes before in his career. He'll get over it. But here's the mindset of an experienced player who is one of the best, as the guys mentioned, one of the best dead ball takers in the game from free kicks. We know he's a very good striker of the football. But the mindset is of a senior player, right? I've made a big mistake. Do I shirk my responsibility,
right,
and send up somebody else who's less experienced, and we get put out, and then actually the coach journey back to Newcastle is worse? If your team get put out and you've sat back and you did not have the stomach Take it up and take it. And that's the mindset of an experienced player. Yes, he's missed it, hindsight and all that. But if he had said to them, oh, I've buckled here, then he would have felt worse. So he had to step up as one of the main guys.
To that point, if Kieran Trippier is asked to take a penalty and he says, no, I don't want it, I have more questions of Kieran Trippier. I have an issue with Eddie Howe in sending him to take the penalty. I think this is when Eddie Howe, as manager, says, Kieran, I'll keep you for 6 or 7 or whatever it may be if it gets to sudden death. Because you have to recognize that. Don't give it to Kieran Trippier to make that decision. Because I'm sure I speak for every single one of us who've played the game. You ask us to take a penalty, we'll take it. We will take it. But this is where
I've seen a few who would take a back step.
I would. Let's speak to my own confidence from 12 yards out. But the point being that most professionals will. They'll step up. They'll take the responsibility. They don't shirk that. As I said before, as professionals, we have sometimes a fatal sense of self-belief. But that's when Eddie Howe needs to recognize that this is a player who's hurting. Let me pull him back a little bit. Let me have a quiet conversation with him. If it gets to sudden death, I convince him that this is when he gets his moment.
But this is not about the penalty miss. It's about the mistake at the back post.
Right. Because anyone can miss a penalty.
Anybody can make a big mistake. But it really boils down to when you look at the game clock, the ball in, he wasn't under any pressure from Mudrić. He could have done a couple of different things. The only thing that was going to kill him was the decision that he made.
He could have nodded it down.
He could have nodded it to the edge of the box, would have said,
anywhere else.
It wasn't a very good clearance, but somebody then has to whip it in from 20 yards. Mm-hmm. He could have nodded it out for a corner, then you regroup. Of course they could score from the corner, but at least you've done your job. The only thing he couldn't do was what he did, and that's what cost him.
And why this is a big talking point, Ian, is of course because it isn't an anomaly, because what we've seen over recent weeks from the Englishman.
Yeah, well, Gareth Southgate calls Kieran Trippier his soldier, doesn't he? The most reliable guy in the England camp. But I think, you know, all these injuries that Newcastle have had, and they've had the heartbreak of Europe, they're playing so much football. I think it's just a bit of mental tiredness for Trippier there. You know, I think there was a moment of indecision. 99 times out of 100, he knows exactly how to deal with that situation. But there's indecision. He makes a wrong decision. Mudrić's equalised in stoppage time, and Chelsea have got the momentum. And, you know, to add to his horror story, he misses from the spot as well. But he's a great dead ball taker, isn't he? All the rest of the time, specialist at it. But just one of those nights. I wonder if this is a bit of a turning point for Chelsea as well, getting through to a semi-final. And with Nkunku, who's going to be important, back fit again.
Nathan, what was it like? You mentioned that the atmosphere is a little flat in the first half. How did Mudrić's goal and then the penalty shootout victory change that?
They were bouncing, all the fans staying. They had that element of belief. And they were, as I said, they were really excited about seeing Nkunku. So when he came on, they were energised. And I think they kind of stuck with the players because even though, you know, Xhaka said Dubravka only had to make one save in the second half, they were pushing. As a consequence, they were believing in it. And I think some of that is obviously to do with the fact that Newcastle very much went onto the back foot. And I think there were a lot of moments in a game that did matter. I think seeing Anthony Gordon go off for Newcastle was a big part for them in terms of Newcastle being able to maybe hit them on the break. Because we've seen this season, you know, he's so good for them going that other way. So Newcastle were very much on the back foot. Chelsea were on the front foot. They were probing. They were creating opportunities, little moments where they said, oh, just shoot and so on. But the fans were buying into it. And then when the penalties came by, the guys stepped up. They scored the first one with Cole Palmer. And the penalties that they put in, they were, you know, these were really good finishes. So they believed in it. They stayed. They hung around. And when the game was done, they very much celebrated together. The songs were playing. They were bouncing around, as I'm sure the guys will tell you about. And, yeah, it could be a turning point in their season. Or at least until we see the draw tomorrow, because who knows, they might get one of the tougher ones there.
Frank, as you love a dodgy decision, should Caicedo have been sent off?
Caicedo?
Yes.
Sorry?
Yes.
Caicedo should be sent off?
Yes.
I would say yes, because it's true that the foot is very high on Gordon's calf. To say that, I wouldn't say he does it on purpose. I don't know what he tries to do. It's insane for me. It's kind of stupid. because he can't catch the ball. So why he tries to catch Gordon Scarth? Yes, yes, overall, yeah, I would say, at first sight, I would say no, but when you see the replay, you cannot avoid the fact that he cannot catch the ball, that he goes for contact, and he goes for a bad one. So I would say yes. Like I would say that Bruno Guimaraes at the end of the game deserves a red card.
And of course, it's the last thing Eddie Howe needs, Ian. We don't know how serious the injury is, but Gordon, of course, coming off.
Yeah, I know, and he's an important player as well. I mean, it's a nightmare what's happened to them, and they've just had to soldier through, and I think they've got a tough decision to make. You know, does Eddie Howe now give Trippier a rest? I mean, can he give him a rest? He's got Burn fit. He could put Livramento at right back and just say, just take a week out to recharge the batteries, because something obviously is amiss with Trippier. But it's just bad luck, isn't it? Really, if the injuries mount up like that, I don't know quite what you can do. They can go in the market, of course, again in January and bolster again. But it's just a nightmare. It's just hellish for them.
We'll be getting some reaction from Stamford Bridge a little bit later on in the show. Hopefully we'll be chatting to both managers, get their reflections on what we saw. Of course, Chelsea turning it around late on as they are through to the semi-finals. Newcastle United out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Manchester City are through at this year's Club World Cup final after defeating Real Madrid by 3-0, be an own goal just before the break that would give Pep Guardiola's side the lead, and then nice strike from Kovacic and Bernardo Silva would guarantee their place in the final with a 3-0 victory. Nadim, do you care?
Oh, of course I care. Of course I care, Dan. You know what I mean? Of course I care. This is amazing. This is one of the greatest games in the club's history. I'm so happy they're in this final. I'd be so proud of the football club should they win it as well. Just so that Craig can be really unhappy and upset about it.
This is my time of the year.
They kept...
This is it,
yeah,
Nadim.
Literally,
I look forward
to clean
this.
Sheet. They scored.
They kept a clean sheet.
Yeah, listen, I'm looking forward to it. I hope they can be on the show as well. It's an incredible. I'm so honoured to be on the show discussing this game, which I didn't see.
Oh, no.
But hopefully they do well in the week, whenever the game is, and everything's all right.
So, big game for you. I would imagine for Urawa Red. Can we call them Sahamir? Can we call them Sahamir? I don't know. Can we make Sahamir? I would imagine for them, you know, bearing in mind, they're playing, it's Japan, isn't it? Playing in Japan. Obviously don't follow the Japanese league for obvious reasons. I'd imagine for them it's probably a bigger game rather than for, you know, for us and for Man City. Certainly for me, glorified friendly, nothing more. But bearing in mind this was to get to the Club World Cup final.
Yeah. Pep says it's a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't want to go back again, would you? you know, unless the weather's good. And what did they have? I read a stat, their expected goals, which I don't really care for anyway,
yes.
Not 0.07.
Yeah.
But I read another stat, was like somewhere else, was no shots on target,
yes.
And no shots at goal. So I don't know where they got the 0.07. Even Crystal Palace. We're talking about Man City. Nadim's team, can hardly keep a clean sheet, and Urawa Reds have done it. Can they play in the Premier League? Because that'll get Man City 3 points.
Ian, do you care?
Not too much, to be honest with you. And the good news, of course, is they're planning to expand it, aren't they?
Yes.
To a big, a bigger tournament still. And, you know, who's going to play in it? A team's going to play their first teamers in the middle of summer? I doubt it.
Frank, would you like to add anything?
No, you only care if you're a football player and you have the chance to play that final, you can get another title in your resume, or if you're a football fan. Otherwise, yeah, you don't care.
So guess what? Just a quick one. Just guess what?
I'm moving on.
Well, hold on.
You might just say
Euro 24 is coming up. Euro 2024.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
World Cup 2026.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
When are the players going to get a rest? 2025.
Yep. But now it's going to be a Club World Cup.
30 a club, 30-odd, 35 million teams, all trying to play each other. I mean, seriously.
Yep.
When players are already talking about all these games, look at Newcastle today. Look at the injuries.
Yep.
And there's FIFA. FIFA care not about what the players want. All they care about is the dough, the money, right? Boneheads, a lot of them.
So the final, we'll see.
Are we covering that Club World Cup? I might have to change my tune.
No, we're good. Manchester City take on Fluminense. That is on Friday. So that's not the most...
That's why I'm off Friday.
That's not the most exciting thing in the world. Neither was the Champions League draw. Craig, you're off yesterday. Would you like to say anything about this?
Well, actually, I took a different view to you boys on the show yesterday. I thought you were very negative about it.
Oh, really? What positive spin would you like to put on this?
Well, you know, what a great opportunity for a small team like Copenhagen to play the winners last year.
Right.
Right.
Well, like Urawa Reds. It's a nice opportunity for them.
Yeah, and they stuffed it up. And actually, you know, the PSG Real Sociedad thing, I think it's quite a good story because Sociedad... Hold on, what's wrong with you?
What do you mean, what's wrong with me? It's a terrible draw.
I liked it.
You did not like it.
Is Craig advocating for growing the game here?
I have no idea.
I mean, I thought you guys were really down on it yesterday.
Oh, really?
I was sat at home. Granted, I'd had a couple of beers by this time.
Oh, he was excited.
Switched the show on. And I was like...
What a treat.
Yesterday, I quite liked this draw about 6:30 when you rolled the graphic in.
Right.
Kind of changed my mind now.
Ian, I suppose, like, if we had to put one spin on it, if everyone wins who should win, the quarter-final, semi-final, final are going to be brilliant.
Yeah, but football's not like that, is it?
Oh, I'm trying to be positive, Ian, about the draw.
You want to win, wins. I quite like that Leipzig-Real Madrid tie. I've seen Leipzig a couple of times. They're quite useful. So, yeah, that's good. It could be a more glamorous draw, you're right.
Yes. Who interrupted me then? Was that Nadim or Frank?
Oh, that was me.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
Oh, who
sorry,
interrupted
because
me?
I met some Paris Saint-Germain fan. They were absolutely delighted to play against Real Sociedad, saying how lucky we are to play against a small team. I say, well, have you ever watched Real Sociedad? Mm. I don't think it's an easy task for Paris Saint-Germain. So it's going to be hard for Paris Saint-Germain. And I'm happy with the draw, just for the reason you said after. The quarterfinal will be absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, not if it goes a little bit wishy-washy.
I understand that, but in theory...
You might not get your wish, elitist.
Well, no, last year was rubbish, though, wasn't it?
I can't remember last year. I live in the moment, Dan. I don't look back.
I know. It could upset the Italians, because remember, it was Inter Milan, Inter played Porto, Inter played Benfica.
But I tell you, for that reason, the arrogance coming out of Paris, it'll be an even bigger blow if... Real Sociedad put them out. And by the way, we've seen quite a bit of them covering La Liga.
Yeah, of course.
They're better than where they are in La Liga in sixth position.
Yes.
They're a much better side than that. And PSG are no great shakes. No great shakes whatsoever.
No.
I enjoyed the draw.
Oh, good. Right, yes. Nadim, would you like to add anything?
Yeah. just in case you didn't know, Dan. This Copenhagen tie is a great tie for me because I actually scored against them in the UEFA Cup way back when. So yeah,
goodness,
I'm delighted this City will get a chance to beat them again.
Wow, bring up that.
Didn't
I get, make it about me?
Well, I'm going to make it. Didn't I get a couple of them on my dream draw? I think I did.
I wasn't paying much attention. Fair enough.
Well, it was better than that one.
Oh, there we go. Ian, Leipzig, Real Madrid, you like? Is that your favourite one?
Yeah, I think it's a good draw. But, hey, look, you know, you can ridicule it. But it is the Champions League round of 16. I mean, Craig's right what he says about Real Sociedad. They are a dangerous side. I covered Paris Saint-Germain against Dortmund last week. That game could have ended 5-5. I mean, they were lethal in attack, Paris Saint-Germain, when Mbappe and others had the ball. And, you know, Kolo Muani's pace was electrifying in the game. So they're going to score goals, but I don't like their defence at all. I don't fancy them to win it. But that is an intriguing guy, because Real Sociedad could be just one of those sides everybody's underrating. And I wonder if there might be a couple of others as well in there. You know, Napoli-Barcelona there at the bottom. Didn't Napoli knock Barcelona out of a European tie a couple of seasons ago? Yes, they did. So, you know, there's storylines everywhere because it's the Champions League.
Yes. Yeah, plenty of subplots, as there are, of course, in the Premier League at the moment. It looks to be one of the tightest races for years, or certainly when you consider the number of people involved in it at this stage of the season. Arsenal, 1 point clear of Liverpool. Villa sitting, of course, on 38 points as well. City at 6-5. Nathan, where have you on since City blew it against Palace and keep blowing it against everybody else? Are you still confident they're going to win the league?
Well said. I like what you did there. You know, we know they can get better. I think that's one of the things that sort of keeps them in line with this sort of title charge. But for them to be this far off the top is significant, especially when there are three other teams, you know, that are ahead of them at this moment in time. I think that's what makes this race particularly intriguing. We've seen the upside of Villa. We've seen the upside of Liverpool. We've seen the upside of Arsenal. And it feels like it's going to be very, very tough and very tight up there. It doesn't feel like a year where one of those sides is going to win 5, 6, 7 games in a row, you know, home and away. So I think it's interesting. I think City's next game after they come back from the Club World Cup being away at Everton, I think that is one hell of an introduction back to Premier League football. So I think I'll probably be able to gauge where they're at more so by how they respond to that game rather than, say, essentially what other teams are doing right now.
It's brilliant, isn't it, Ian? Well, not City being
it's
rubbish, but
race.
Just overall.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, especially Aston Villa, because, you know, who would have thought they'd be up there, you know, in the top 3 and 4 at this stage of the season. The team I like the look of most at this stage, and I stress at this stage, is Arsenal. I think they're making the least mistakes. They look really impressive. You know, Rice has made a massive difference. He's one big reason why they're better than last season, in my view. City, I think, you know, there's a reason no team in the history, you know, pre-Premier League, now the Premier League, has ever won the title 4 times in a row. And I just don't, I think they're making too many mistakes. They're having dead patches in games. They allowed Palace back in it. I think that was just indicative of what's been happening with them. So, yeah, they probably will stage a revival, but now they've got quite a lot to do. So, if I was an Arsenal fan, I think I'd be quietly optimistic that this might just be their year.
That'll be a big boost to the confidence, though, won't it, City? Keeping a clean sheet against the Urawa Reds.
It's all right. We've done that bit. Nathan, the concern obviously is that every time a team goes forward, it looks like they're going to score against City. How easy is that to address?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's that sort of simple, to be honest, because as Craig's just said, they just kept a clean sheet against Urawa Red Diamonds. So, respectfully, they are working on things. You see, they are getting better. But yeah, I think teams will have an element of belief, and until the game's completely out of sight, you know, they'll push on. It's the same thing that, say, would happen with Spurs in recent weeks, where they take a lead, look like they're being dominant, but then the other side would come back in and get a result. So I think, as Ian said there, it's mistakes. And for me, when I see teams making mistakes, I feel like that's something that those individuals and as a collective they're trying to overcome. And then from there, performances will become better. They'll be more clinical at the back, be more clinical in midfield and up front. So I think the best is yet to come, as opposed to this being a standard that I think they'll have for the rest of the season.
Name you Anfield for us tomorrow.
Yeah, man. The Liverpoolians love me. I can't wait to get over there, Dan. Cannot wait.
Oh, what a lovely treat that will be.
Jürgen's waiting on him.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's where it all happened last time, wasn't it? You used to play?
I scored against Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Get him a little name.
Yeah,
tag.
See, I'll get that video out. Scored against Copenhagen. Everyone remembers it.
Nathan, we'll let you go wherever you need to go. Where are you going now? Are you going to stay in London and go up to Liverpool?
Yeah, that's me. Busy,
lovely.
Man.
Well,
take care, guys.
Well, yes. We could get a private car. So
I'm looking at the time. Last train's gone north.
Right.
Trust me.
When did you go on the train? Did you use the train a lot?
Yes.
Really? Anyway, right. Thank you very much. Ian and Frank will be with us for extra time.
You don't know me. Don't answer that.
YouTube, extra time.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
According to the bookies, it will be Liverpool. West Ham, big outsiders going into this tie. Is that fair, Shane?
Yeah. Hey, well, if Liverpool put out a full-strength team, yeah, that's about fair. If they don't, which I'm not sure I expect them to, especially after West Ham knocked out Arsenal previously, they'll be up for this.
Yeah, Liverpool aren't going to put out a full-strength side, considering they got Arsenal at the weekend.
Bit of a hybrid again, some starting 11, some bench players that got some injuries.
Do you play Nunez to give him a bit of oomph?
Yeah, I do. What is it, no goals in 10 or something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah.
Lucky to stay on the field at the weekend. People might disagree with that, but if Michael Oliver is applying the laws that he did to Diego Dallo, then being booked for kicking the ball away and then applauding the referee directly after it meant he should have been red carded. So he needs to get his head back in the game, both in terms of his discipline, his mindset, and more importantly, his goal scoring. So I would play him, but I would imagine David Moyes will go strong with West Ham. For them, we know the way they'll play it. It'll suit their game. They'll sit in, they'll try and just soak up as much pressure as they can, and they'll try and hit on the counter-attack. They actually do it as well as anybody in the Premier League in terms of, they don't play in the front foot like most of the big guys. So if you're looking at a side that sometimes frustrates the fans by the way they play, but actually it's been very successful from top their European group again. Mm. They're in the top half of the Premier League. They're in the quarter-final of the Carabao Cup. It's not always the prettiest football, but they know how to game manage most games. They didn't have a particularly good game against Fulham recently, I think it was. But that apart, it's going to be a tough game for Liverpool, particularly if he plays a side with five or six regulars out, which I think he will.
It's intriguing, isn't it, Shaq, for a number of reasons. One of the main ones being, you win this game, you're only one step away from Wembley.
Yeah. And listen, I think there's just so much at stake, especially for clubs like West Ham, who aren't used to enjoying this kind of run, certainly domestically. I still refer to them as reigning European champions, but lifting domestic silverware, I think, is huge. And you're right, you get to this stage, semi-finals and final to go, and you feel you can match anybody on the day, and it's a big opportunity for West Ham.
It's an intriguing tie, Ian.
It is, and I think West Ham have won 7 of their last 9. As Craig said, they had that 5-0 reverse when they were tired, I think, at Fulham. But they've got a bit more of an X factor now. Lucas Paqueta is a really classy, flair player. And Mohamed Kudus has been brilliant since arriving from Ajax. So they've got plenty, I think, West Ham. And they're capable, if Liverpool haven't got a full-strength side up, of making that interesting.
Frank, if you're a Liverpool player, do you want to play tomorrow?
Yeah, because it's a big game, because it's going to be a full crowd, because you play against a Premier League team, and you know that it's something you can get at the end. It's that silverware. I mean, winning a Carabao Cup is still important for a player, so you want to be involved. They are professional players, and as a professional player, you want to play every game. You want to be involved. You want to be part of it. It's your faith. It's what you want to be in. And I think all players are thinking like that way.
Big surprise in La Liga on Tuesday as we saw Atletico Madrid drop points at home for the first time this season. They were down to 10 men for much of the game after Savage picked up two yellow cards quickly from kickoff. Atletico would be 3-1 up. It looked like they would get the victory. However, two late goals for Getafe means the spoils are shed, and it means the distance could widen between them and Girona and Real Madrid, who of course are still yet to play this week. Craig, we talked so much about Atletico being title contenders, haven't we? These sort of results, losing against an Athletic Club, certainly make you question that.
Well, yeah, and we thought, yeah, look, they're a little bit scratchy away from home, but they've been so good at home, they'll keep it going. But the last couple of weeks, with the results that Real Madrid and particularly Girona have been getting, it just feels now that Atletico are playing their way out of this title race. And I think that puts somewhat pressure on a manager who I believe has got another new contract, is getting paid a fortune. Mm-hmm. They are still in the Champions League at the moment. But they had to expect to be in this title race. Now, listen, they might turn it around, put a 10, 12 game winning streak together, and the others might fold, and maybe they are, but it doesn't look like it at the moment. And I think when you see Girona up there, whose budget will be minuscule compared to the others around them, but particularly Atletico Madrid, then that's really disappointing from their perspective. And 3-1 up, 3-1 up at home and you can't see it out, it is poor. I personally think that they are, I was listening to you guys yesterday, I think unfortunately for us is you know, it's a two-horse race now, in my opinion. I don't think Barca or Atleti are consistent enough.
Do you agree, Ian?
I'll tell you what I love about the whole of La Liga. Girona this season, you know, that 4-2 win against Barcelona, brilliant. I think that was like a Leicester City moment. I remember when Leicester City won the title, everybody said, oh, they'll fold. They won't do it. They went to Manchester City and won 3-1, and everybody sat up and said, you know what? They just might. Well, I just wonder if that was the moment with Girona. So I hope they carry on up there as long as possible, because it's a wonderful, unexpected story, and sport and football needs that.
Most definitely. And of course, in Germany, meanwhile, when you think about the title race there, you always associate it with Borussia Dortmund. They have been dropping points a lot of late, more today. Just a reminder, in La Liga then, we've got three games here on Wednesday, four on Thursday, including Alaves against Real Madrid. Back to our feature game, Chelsea 1, Newcastle United 1. Let's get some reaction now. Alexis caught up with Mauricio Pochettino. But first, let's hear from Eddie Howe.
Eddie, I know penalties is always such a crushing way to exit a cup, but you guys slayed Manchester City, you slayed Manchester United at Old Trafford, almost slayed Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. Surely there's still a lot of positives to take from just the Carabao Cup overall for you guys.
Yeah, I think there is. It's very difficult to see that in this moment, in this second, because we're just dealing with the defeat and trying to digest it, really. Sort of had one foot in the next round. We were so close and we defended so well and given everything physically and mentally to the game. But it's never over till it's over, and a cruel way to lose.
Well, you spoke about Kieran, and obviously he's had a couple of difficult matches, but one of the lovely things too, after the missed penalty, you know, Bruno went right up to him, you know, and kind of embraced him. Does that pretty much speak to the kind of community, the family that you guys have, that shows that he's exactly where he needs to be to have the support around him in this time?
Yeah, it does, and I thought it was a great touch from Bruno. I think we pride ourselves on having a team spirit and a togetherness that is really, really special, and I do genuinely believe we have that this season, and we had it last season, and it's those bonds and those friendships that when someone's down, we need to pick them up and we protect them. And Kieran's been, I said before so many times, the catalyst behind our success. He really transformed. He was a transformative signing, and the players absolutely love him.
Mauricio, congratulations. What a performance. 2 minutes away from being eliminated to now winning on penalties. Roller coaster of emotions. How proud of your boys are you?
I am so proud, so pleased. I think they deserve full credit. So really, really pleased, because the performance was really good and was complete and fair to be eliminated in this type of games, no? But even if you deserve, I think keep believing until to the end is the most important thing in football, and football, and we keep believing until to the end. That is why we score and draw the game, and then in penalties always is a lottery, but also is a quality and talent, and be relaxed and to have a keeper that today was great and save the on the end the key penalty.
Now, overall, there's always a lot of football to play in the year, but how much of a priority now does this cup become for you, considering semi-finals?
No, I told you all before the start of the season that it's going to be a priority for us, the Carabao Cup, the FA Cup, and of course the Premier League. And we are showing that we care about this competition and we want to be through, and now we are through on the semi-final, and we need to, yes, now to be focused in the next Premier League games. And of course tomorrow we are going to see the draw and see our opponent, but it's really important for us to be on the semi-final, and because I see the motivation. And then not only this, if not that we are improving and we are doing well, and that is really important because we are a young squad and we need to keep moving forward.
And we finally got to see the first glimpses of Nkunku. I'm sure the fans were so excited to hear him. There was a loud roar. For you, just how much of a role, or what are your expectations of him in your master plan?
No, I think the expectation is massive, but I think we need to keep the expectation a little bit down, because I think he need to feel like today, score his first goal, like, well, by penalty, but I think it's important for him and start to feel the competition in England. I think after 5 months, 6 months, that was injured, it's not easy. And yes, this type of game are good for him, but in the same time, he need the team to help. And of course, I think we are going to give time day by day and game by day, some time to accumulate minutes to be in the level that we expect. But at the moment, it's only the beginning, and he needs to build his best form.
So we've got three teams in the semi-final draw. We'll know the fourth by the end of tomorrow. Liverpool taking on West Ham. Our coverage will begin here at 2:30 Eastern on Plus.
Fantastic. What a day.
Oh, beautiful. But hey, there's still more to come, Craig. Oh, what a treat.
You're our Reds.
I don't know why you keep trying to say
it. Japan's finest.
Frank and Ian will be back with us, Craig.
Japan's finest.
You can go home if
you're World Cup fine. Semi-finalist.
Yes.
Stick it up your jumper.
Extra time next.
Who cares?
Nonsense.
I'm still on.
There we go. Hello and welcome then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Craig is here. Shaka as well.
I'm here.
Craig's in Club World Cup mood, very excited.
Oh, magnificent.
Yeah.
What a day.
Beautiful. Oh, good. What a day.
Sat down, we're just whatever, right? One thing I didn't think I'd have to do today.
Oh, yeah.
Was concentrate on the, what was it?
Chelsea Newcastle.
I was concentrating on that.
Yeah.
And there was a chap behind me. And I can hear this. Somebody gobbing away in the background. I'm like, what the hell is this?
It's the MLS Super Draft, Craig.
He had the MLS Super Draft up full booner, bang.
Yes.
Speakers the lot on his phone.
And why, Shaka? Why were you so intrigued?
Because my best friend's son was drafted.
Oh, fantastic.
He was in the draft.
Let's give him a shout out.
And, Wayne Frederick.
There we go.
Drafted, from Duke, drafted by Colorado, number 2 overall.
Wow, fantastic.
And not that it's any surprise.
Similar to NFL money?
Huh?
Is it similar to NFL
money? If I was his agent, it would be.
I tell you what, the interest you were taking in it.
I was very interested.
Well, you're getting a cut. By the way,
right?
Not that it'd be any surprise, but whoever it was chunting away in the background.
Right.
They were talking the biggest amount of stuff I've ever
heard. Good, you're replicating that well. Frank and Ian are with us as now. Frank has got his Christmas turtle next.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
I bet there's got a tag on the back.
take
it back.
Ian's here as well. Ian, do you have a busy Christmas, I imagine? Are you doing lots of games?
Not that many, no.
Oh dear.
Not this year. I've got a couple of Premier League games I've got to cover over Christmas. As many as I want to be covering.
Oh,
that's the thing, though, isn't it?
I've spent too many Christmas evenings sitting there with a glass of sherry and trying to prepare notes on Crystal Palace or somebody. And I'm thinking, this is pretty sad.
Yes.
And it is, isn't it?
No, but it's good that you can step away.
Come on, Ian, you're a commentator. They're all quite sad.
Somebody said that's what commentators do. Travel and commentate.
Oh, no. Shaka, this is kind of for you. Do you remember the result of the last penalty shootout you were involved in?
Yeah, it was Liverpool, actually.
Yeah, that's fine.
I didn't have any after that.
Yeah.
Don't be sad about it.
I'm not sad. I was thinking. That's my thinking face.
Do you ever think, I could have done that better?
No.
No?
No.
Really? Maybe you should.
So why? You should go back and do it?
Well, no, it's
call
just...
everybody up and say, let's try this again.
How's about today? Is there anything you could have done better today? I can think of a few things.
Frank, do you remember your last penalty shootout?
Yes, that was the last game of my career, I would say, and I was in Qatar, the Emir Cup, and we lost in penalties against my former club. The season before, I played for Al Sadd, and they won the Emir Cup, and we lost on penalties. I think we did 0-0, and we lost on the last penalty, and that was the last kick of my career. Wow. Because after that game, I gave up my career. So yes, a sad one.
Are you over it?
I would say that. Excuse me, I'm over it.
Yeah, are you over it?
I was over it like 5 minutes after. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. When you check your bank account for those millions.
Emir Cup. Yeah. Emir Cup. Emir.
What about you?
Emir.
Emir.
That's bigger than the Club World Cup. I've only ever been involved in one penalty shootout. It was Chelsea Millwall when I scored. I think the third one or the fourth. Right. I can't remember. And you know, I scored against our colleague Casey.
Against Casey, yeah.
Casey Keller was in goal for Millwall, and I planted it past him, not a problem. Done it with my eyes closed.
Oh,
easy peasy. And we lost.
Oh, no.
Not because of me,
right.
Obviously.
No, because of other people.
Other numpties. I wouldn't call them that.
Ian, if I'm an aspiring commentator and ask you for advice how to do a penalty shootout, what would it be?
I'm not equipped to give you advice about penalty shootouts. I've got a story about one.
Oh.
Don't ask me why, but there was a media event held at Wembley where we all played football on the famous turf at Wembley. It came to a penalty shootout and they said, do you want to take one? And I'm ashamed to say, I said, no, because I could never live the rest of my life saying I missed the penalty at Wembley, so I chickened out of taking one.
I did.
See, I can imagine you doing that.
He'd be all over it.
I can imagine you like buckling in the background. Oh, yeah. Whimpering away like a gigantic baby.
100%. Yeah. I'd be sat with Ian.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, in the toilet.
Would you take one? You would take one, though.
Well, in that case, you would, because it's fun.
Yeah, you'd take one and tell everybody about
you'd
it
have to
every
get on
day.
The, trust me, from that penalty spot,
yes,
you'd have to get on the weights. Wow. It's a long way out.
You can move it up a little bit.
That was my one penalty that I took when I was young. The goalkeeper had to come off his line to pick it up.
You'll never take one penalty.
That was one penalty. That was it.
The goalkeeper. Goodness.
Poor Mullion. Mullion never recovered.
Was this a local league inside the country?
Side of country is Devon.
Same
I'm from
thing.
Cornwall. Which
same thing.
Not the same thing.
It's the same thing.
That's disappointing.
It's all part of the one.
No.
The one. Southerners.
No, slightly xenophobic. Don't like that. Thank you.
You're all tree talkers. Talk to trees.
Ian, it's already been a year since the Qatar World Cup. Why do we talk to trees?
Yeah, talk to anything. There's no people down there.
All right, my tree, what are you doing there?
Talk to walls and
okay.
Bricks and cows
right,
and sheep.
God, shut him up. It's been a year since the World Cup in Qatar, Ian. What was your favourite game and moment?
The favourite game's the final, isn't it? What a game. Probably the best game of football ever played, wasn't it? That 4-3 final. Fantastic. So, well, 3-3, wasn't it? Penalty shooter, anyway. Favourite moment, I think it was Argentina's second goal, which kind of started on the halfway line, and it was all beautiful one-touch football with a perfect finish from, I think, Di Maria, wasn't it? So that would be my moment. Was it a year ago?
Shaka was there, weren't you, Shaka?
I was there. I most certainly was. I had a great seat.
Oh, good.
Yes. Right over Lloris's goal in the first half.
Yeah.
Saw all the action.
Oh, I don't remember.
Actually, all but one goal scored in that goal.
Okay.
I was right there, Dan.
Yeah. You stayed awake for that one, unlike other games.
Oh, I was awake all the way through, Dan.
Right, good. Frank, how did you celebrate your correct prediction for the Liverpool against Manchester United football extravaganza?
By texting me.
Yeah, he texted you, didn't he?
Yeah,
he texted Ali as well.
Texting everybody. Yeah. Texting everybody.
But you didn't quite get it right, Frank, because you said it was going to be 1-1.
Yeah, okay, good. I said it was will be a draw, and I was the only one to say it was a draw. So I texted Ali. Of course, I texted Don, who said, Frank, How mad can you be to think that Liverpool's going to draw? Yeah. How mad can you be? And Ali, you know, all the kind of BSs that I heard, and also Sebi predicting a 4-0, you know, and everybody was against me. And, well, I was just thrilled, you know, that for once, I was happy. Yeah, some people were also mentioning my prediction about Denmark, and Canada.
Yeah, that was a prediction.
I know that. I remember that.
So, if you're forgiven.
It's like a bitter Oscar speech, isn't it? Everyone's against me, but no, I was right.
That is Frank's graphic for the World Cup in Qatar is up there with one of the great graphics.
That's a one-year anniversary we should be celebrating.
How these teams are going to get to it.
Ian, what has happened to Trippier as of late with all the mistakes?
We touched on this in the programme tonight, didn't we? I mean, I put it down to he's mentally a bit jaded and probably physically jaded as well. You know, he's been probably one of the great signings in the Premier League era for £12 million. And like Eddie Howe said tonight, he's been an inspiration for Newcastle. But, you know, he had a horror story game against Everton recently. He had another one tonight. So, I mean, I guess it happens. You know, you're talking with three very good professional footballers, you know, on the show here tonight. And they would probably identify periods in their career where it just wouldn't happen. I think that's what's happening to Trippier. But he'll bounce back from it.
Got to bounce back.
Yeah.
I've got a question.
Yes, sir.
I've got a question for Ian. Okay. It's nothing to do with football.
All right.
Ian, are you still doing any boxing commentary?
No, I don't do any boxing commentary these days, Craig. Why do you ask?
What the hell's happening? I bet you, this is my question for you. I bet you wouldn't like to be doing boxing commentary now.
Oh, this has gone down a tangent.
Where's all these YouTubers all of a sudden become boxers?
Oh, wait, that's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, old man. Shouts at cloud.
When
did a YouTuber become a boxer?
Hey, if it makes money, then it doesn't matter, does it? These people are making a lot of money.
There's a man there. He was at Mike Tyson.
It does matter, Dan. Dan, it matters because it's not like seniors golf. You can get hurt in the ring. So people getting in the ring who can't do it are in danger.
Ignoramus.
Yeah, it's a very serious and valid point.
But when's it? It's like, there
we are. Well, you asked.
Thank you. No, thank you very much.
I'd get in the ring.
Good.
I don't think I would, actually. No chance.
Craig, do you think that Forrest sacking Steve Cooper is a good move?
I don't know. Look, here's the problem. When you're in the championship and you have success, the chances are that success will lead to your demise. Not always, but there's a fair chance. And I remember my Uncle George, who was manager at Ipswich for many years, saying at one point, they got to the playoff final, or the playoffs and the final, but I think four or five years in the trot before they actually got promoted. And he said to me once, I remember him saying to me, look, I don't mind getting to the playoffs, and if we don't get up, it's not a disaster, because we're not ready.
Right.
We're not ready to go up there. And Forrest did great staying up in the first season. But I think the question you have to ask yourself with Steve Cooper, right, is this all on him, or is this a very Chelsea light in terms of all those players that were getting signed? Do you know what I mean? So I think it was a real difficult position for him to be in. I firmly believe that there's no way he was behind the amount of players that came in certainly last season. That to me smelt of people behind the scenes just basically handed them players, and I thought he did great to keep them up. But it's a business now, and unfortunately they start panicking when anybody mentions a relegation word. But listen, he'll walk back into another job, but unfortunately for him it'll be in the Championship.
Ian, what do you think?
I think it's a horrendous decision. That guy is in love with Nottingham Forest. Good luck finding anybody who's going to be better than him. They would not be in the Premier League but for Steve Cooper. And guess what? Yeah, they've had a bit of a bad run at the moment, but they're still 5 points clear of the drop. So, yeah, who are they going to get? Good luck with that.
Frank, how difficult is it for strikers to learn to be offside? Is it worked on at all during training? Why has Chelsea forwards been so bad at it for so many years?
It's a very good question, but I don't have the answer. I think it's all about how you feel the game, how you watch it, how clever you can be to avoid being offside. And most of the time you don't work that. you don't work that on the training sessions because you play seven aside game, you barely play the 11 against 11, and you don't pay attention to offside. I mean, you can be offside and cut offside, you know, by because the defense played well. But when you're on the side and you see the game in front of you and you put yourself offside, you make a mistake. You make a big mistake for me. But it's up to, for example, Jackson to be more careful or when he makes a run and make sure. I remember seeing Gianluca Vialli, when I gave him an assist against Manchester United, running very flat alongside the defenders and waiting for the ball to come behind the defense to then turn and go to the goal. But you have to have that intelligence, that spirit and that feeling to avoid that. Defenders are very clever and they work on that defensively, but strikers, they don't work on that. And they're easily being caught because they don't do that work and they're thinking before making those runs.
I think you'll find it was the run I made in that game that allowed the space for Gianluca to...
Oh, really? Yeah, of course. I just took, aren't you great?
I took a different... I'm not saying I played the ball. I did not play the ball. Bit of a lucky pass.
You're the decoy.
Bit of a lucky scoop from Frank over the top.
Right.
If memory serves me right. Before Luca put it through Peter Schmeichel's legs. I tell you who's never been caught offside and certainly weren't today. Your rabbit reds.
Oh, there we go.
Never got that far up the field. Never got that far up the field. Your rabbit reds.
Dear me.
Never crossed the halfway line.
Do they work on it in practice?
What, not going across the halfway line?
Yeah.
It seems so. Because even Crystal Palace managed to cross the halfway line against City.
Our producer wants to show this before we go. Let's put this up, shall we?
What is it, a dog?
It's not a horse. Why would you show a dog?
Well, you can show anything. What is it? A squash racket?
It's a horse.
A squash
racket? There it is.
Oh. Oh my God! Okay.
Voila.
Well done, Frank.
I just want to say something about Luis Garcia, who had a terrible weekend with Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, and Liverpool.
Yeah, there we go.
Just,
good.
Just
give him a kick. Louis, he doesn't
give him a kick as well.
Nail his mash to the mash.
Now that's it. We're done. Thank you very much, Craig Chubb.
ESPN FC
will be back tomorrow. Craig and Shaq.
Hey, one for the road. You are Reds.
Yes. Thank you very much, Craig. I'm going to go talk to a tree.